Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University, and he's been teaching at the graduate and undergraduate level for well over 30 years. Now, his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues, and in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco down to King City. And he joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday of each month from 5 to 6 p.m. So let's have a little musical introduction and listen to Dr. Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
The song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find relief.
And thank you, and welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he said, I am your host for this segment, Arne Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving all of your relationships by listening from your heart. And that was a wonderful introduction to what I'm going to talk about today. I love that idea of a sacred opportunity, as was expressed in the word of the day, and what Solazar was saying, talking about how in every relationship, it's what you want. Do you want to connect with other people? You know, what a wonderful thought. It brings to mind actually a Henry Ford quote about whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And for me, what that means is that if you want to connect with other people and can do so in an effective, heart-centered way, then you will. And if it's something that you don't want, then it won't happen. What I like to talk about is, well, a lot of things, but in particular here, about listening and how listening particularly to the essence of what the other person is saying. And in other words, what is the underlying message? It's not just in the words. And as the year comes to a close, it is, of course, the holiday season, which is a time of joy, of celebration. And if you're like many of us, more opportunities for lots of conflict between you and your family members. Because the holidays are as much a time of joy as they are a time of regression. And I'll talk a little bit about what I mean by that. With the holidays, we typically will celebrate them with our family of origin. Now, when we do that, when you come in contact with the family of origin, then one of the very common things that happens is that we regress to our child in such situations. So if you're visiting parents, grandparents, older relatives, no matter what your age, it's very common to kind of slip back into the same kinds of patterns that you had when you were growing up. And you know, conversely, if you're a parent or grandparent or older relative, it can be a challenge to see your younger relatives as fully adult, fully human beings instead of the children that they were. You know, it's a common thing, like your children are always your babies. Well, that's, you know, and that can be a beautiful sentiment. However, there is something about the holidays that that causes us to regress to sometimes the most childish ways, that we were. So, and even as an adult, that there's that tendency. I mean, have you noticed this? That when if you go back home, something that you don't do very often, say during the holidays, maybe you make a trip to see your parents or older relatives, and you find yourself acting not as you do normally, but as you used to. And the thing is that a lot of times those younger relationships can be very challenging. The biggest challenge is to stay in our aware heart when we're confronted with these triggers that cause us to regress. In other words, the stimulus of seeing your family of origin, the people who are around there, can often cause us to revert back to those dynamics. So, given that, it becomes even more important to be skillful with your communication, and perhaps even more important to be in your aware heart about it. And that can be the biggest challenge. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, well, the good, the bad, and the ugly about this. And I will finish up with some tips for making communication during the holidays be a little bit less stressful than they might. So, you know, some of the good, I mean, and by the good, I don't mean all the warm and fuzzy good type of stuff. There's plenty of that. There's certainly going to be enough of that. But I'm seeking the good in the conflict. Okay? So, now here's the thing. If you've been doing any amount of inner work, chances are much of it, if not almost all of it, has led back to family of origin issues that had their origin in your family of origin. And through that process, you may have come in contact with ways that that you were hurt growing up, ways that individuals had affected you in a negative way. You know, things that you've had to really struggle and work through, and now you're going to go back and see that person or persons. So you may have identified ways that you and others were back when you were younger that are now not okay, that you've realized that that if you were to go through that now, you would recognize that it's not okay. But then the thing is that as a young child, growing up, you don't know any differently than what's being presented. And I'm, you know, sadly, some of us have had to endure extreme abuse growing up. And I'm not really talking about that. You know, even if you grew up in a loving household, there were things that did cause childhood wounds, no matter how wonderful and loving your parents or caregivers were. It's just inevitable that in the process of making us sociable human beings and not some kind of wild person, that there be limits placed. And as a child, we don't like that. I remember, you know, when one of my sons was little, and he had to go to bed, and he didn't want to go to bed, and you know, just listening, he was, "I hate you, Dad," you know. So it's, and of course, that, you know, that's he was simply expressing his anger and frustration, at having to do something that he didn't want. And I don't know, hopefully it didn't cause too much trauma. But the thing is that when you're growing up, it's inevitable that these things happen. And now that the holidays are here, and you know you're back into face to face with your childhood in a way. First of all, it's natural to regress, but again, we're talking about some of the good. So, having identified these family of origin issues, you are now in direct contact with the people who did this, and it's always a little more beneficial to your healing to be dealing with the actual person there. And you know, sadly, for some of us, our caregivers or parents have passed away, and there isn't that possibility. But in the case that there is, that's the opportunity, and it may not have been the parents. It may have been a sibling, an older sibling, or even a younger sibling. The good is the opportunity to change the dynamic, to reinforce the changes that you made in yourself through your inner work by choosing to not revert to those old patterns. In other words, to move beyond them, to have a different kind of relationship with the people in your family. And that's a wonderful opportunity. There are challenges. So remember that, first of all, don't expect anybody to notice that there's anything different. The people's perspective, especially your family of origin, I mean, their perspective of you may still be locked in the past. They still may expect you to play the same role that you did as a young person. The other thing to remember is that the members of your family of origin, they're not the same people they were. They've changed as well. I mean, whether they did inner work or not, just through the passage of years, I mean, everybody changes. And they aren't the same people that they were when you were growing up. So, when you think of them as when you were a child, keep in mind that your image of them is just that. It's really an image in your mind. So you're not seeing them as they are now necessarily. If you're locked in the past, if you're seeing them as they were, then you're not being fully present. So again, there's an opportunity to see them as they are now. And regardless of any of this, even if in some ways they haven't changed, understand that you can't change them. So, and knowing that we can't change others, that's something that's easy to say, hard to do, in the sense that so often we really want the other person to change. It would be great if only you were different. So this is a concrete way of really recognizing that. And furthermore, there's an opportunity for genuine appreciations of who the people are, of even though, despite of what may have happened in the past, that things are in a better place now. Of course, when you express appreciation, you got to be careful of how you say that. You don't want to give backhanded compliments, you're not as big a jerk as you used to be. I mean, see, that's an appreciation, isn't it? Not quite. Okay, so that's the good. I mean, not the last part. I mean, but the good is the opportunity. Okay, so now the bad. Well, the bad is that even knowing all of this, you still may regress. Why? Because despite whatever work you've done, old habits and reactions are so difficult to change. Change is really hard, even if you're the only one. And then when faced with an environment that causes all of your reactions to take you to a certain place. It can take a lot of effort to not go there. And if that happens, you may feel discouraged. You say, well, I mean, I've done all this work and now, you know, things are just as bad with my siblings or with my parents. And you may feel discouraged about this and maybe, you know, think, well, you know, what's the use if I haven't really made any progress? You know, it may seem as if nothing is ever going to change. And chances are that may happen. But remember that there's no failure in this. If you judge it to be failure, then it will be a failure. But if you judge it and treat it as information, then it can be very valuable information. Well, for one, it can be just an indication, well, there's more work to do here. If I'm still triggered by some of these things, then, you know, then I just got more work to do. Got to figure out what that's about and go into that, you know, continue. Usually what gets triggered on this is your inner critic. So your inner critic is sitting there saying, oh, you know, you're Mr. High and Mighty or holier than thou, and here you're now acting like a jerk again, like you always have. You're never gonna make any progress. You know, you're always gonna be, you know, this way. Do you have a voice that says things like that to you? Part of a lot of work is addressing what that inner critic is about, and the holidays and contact with your family of origin tends to bring that out, because many times your inner critic has its genesis in your caregivers, in your family of origin. And that voice that you hear, sometimes it might be the voice of your father or of your mother. And when you hear it from the outside as well as the inside, then that can lead to a kind of a resonance of that. So what you can do is you can notice your own reactions. So again, this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be more aware of what is going on in yourself. So just notice when your reactions were based upon old tapes. And if your reactions were such that you lashed out, or maybe you did something or said something that you weren't proud of, make amends. As again, there's always opportunity to make amends, you know, to others, and perhaps most importantly, to make amends to yourself. So that's the good, the bad, and that leaves the ugly. And the ugly has to do with just trying to change your family of origin. You know, the more you try to change others, the uglier it gets. And keep in mind that even if changes are noticed, you're going to get pressure to change back. See, family systems tend to like the status quo. And anything that kind of breaks the status quo can become dangerous to the system. So there's pressure to not rock the boat too much. So if you in the family have played a certain role, by changing, you're not playing that role anymore, and there may be an expectation. Another ugly thing that may happen is, you know, okay, so they may not accept your amends. Develop realistic expectations. You know, understand that they have followed their path and you followed your path. And so the more realistic your expectations can be about how things are going to go, the less disappointed you might be when they don't entirely pan out. Okay, so that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I do want to give you some tips for communication during the holiday, and I've got 7 of them here. So there's something magic about the number 7. Okay, the first one is that if you've been doing some work, the chances are you have some kind of practice. I mean, is it mindfulness, meditation, yoga, running, working out, you know, reading, whatever it is. The holidays can disrupt that. But make a commitment to yourself to continue with your practice, at least to the best of your ability. You know, ideally on a daily basis, if you're used to meditating every day, you know, find a way to carve that time out and do that meditation. And if you're not at home, you know, just find a way to just get to a quiet place if that's what you're about. Unless you're out in the boonies, chances are that there's going to be, if you're into yoga, there's probably a yoga facility near you, or just, you know, bring your mat and kind of just do it in your room wherever you are. This is important because the more grounded you are, the more likely you are to stay conscious. And the more likely you are to stay conscious during this, the more likely it is that regardless of what may come at you, that you will be able to respond instead of react. Okay, so that's the first, you know, stay grounded. And, you know, it's not just saying that, it's continuing the very things that keep you grounded, whatever they may be. Okay, the second tip is to check in with yourself. And by that, just be aware of what triggers you might have. Be aware of your when you start to react. So when a conversation starts to go off the rails, you know, just be aware of that. Awareness is the first step. Just kind of realize that that maybe you're getting riled up. It doesn't have to do with the other person. If the other person gets riled up, I mean, and you stay grounded and conscious, then you can track them. And if you want to know how to track, you can check out some of my previous segments. Or, you know, and if that's not your favorite thing, or if you don't feel comfortable tracking at that point, then just, you know, back off, excuse yourself, or change the subject. Now, if you do get triggered, one approach is to try to take a timeout. Okay, this is my third tip. So try to take a timeout if you can. Now here's the thing. Yeah, you don't want to announce it. So if your uncle is starting to get on your case about what your political views are, who you voted for. You know, when you start to feel yourself get defensive, or, you know, again, your heart starts racing, you start sweating a little bit or whatever, you know, you don't have to stay there and put up with it, but you don't have to start a fight over that either. So, you know, you could find an excuse. I mean, having to go to the bathroom is always just one way to kind of just get out of it for the moment. I mean, who could object to that? And if somehow that doesn't come to mind, or if that doesn't work, then you can try an impact statement to set your limit. You know, you could say something like, you know, Uncle Bob, I'm feeling uncomfortable with this conversation, and I would like to return to this topic at a later time. And then, of course, track and override resistance. You know, they might say, oh, you know, what's the matter? You can't take it. You might be right about that, and I would like to talk about it another time. And you don't have to defend. You don't have to explain. Again, be reasonable, of course. Don't be the one who is kind of attacking the other person for any of those things. So expect resistance. Just as a side note, I know that a lot of times couples counselors will recommend a timeout. My personal experience with that is that it's never worked, because usually one person wants the timeout and the other one wants to have nothing to do with it, regardless of what's because they're all kind of stoked and they want to kind of keep you know, keep at what they're doing, and the other person saying, oh, no, I want a timeout. You know, to be honest, that has never worked triggered situation like that. But sometimes it does work. It is recommended by some, so it's a possibility. Now, tip number four. Now, here's something you can do beforehand. Now, beforehand, you may have some idea of who a difficult person is going to be that you're going to encounter. Again, it might be someone from your family of origin. It might be an in-law or in-laws. But here's what you can do to set the groundwork for having more mindful conversations, and that is to hold each person that you judge to be difficult in the light, you know, I'm putting air quotes around difficult because I don't believe that there are really any difficult people. There are people who are in pain, who are just using strategies that they found to address what their needs are, and that can come across as being very difficult. But keep in mind that thinking of a person as difficult is a very judgmental thing. I mean, is that really a heart-centered way to look at someone? Now, there are people who present more challenges than others. The way I see it is that somebody who presents a bigger challenge, and if I fail to meet that challenge, then that is just information to me that I'm not as skillful or heart-centered as I would like to be. There are ways of practicing mindful compassion. I mean, there's one I'm familiar with called Tonglen. It's one of these things where you begin with yourself and you begin with people who are close to you, and you just kind of have mindful compassion for them. You hold them in the light. You see them as being just whole and perfect human beings, and you keep expanding the people who you see that way until it starts including some of these so-called difficult people. Again, there are a variety of ways of approaching this, but mindful compassion is an excellent way to kind of set the stage for interactions that could prove potentially difficult. Tip number five, as I mentioned earlier, the chances are or you still may regress despite all of what you're doing. So don't beat yourself up about that. Remember, keep it as use it as information. And there's always more opportunities. That's the beauty of relationships, is that there's always an opportunity for another chance at it. So don't beat yourself up, and that ties in with what I was talking earlier about the inner critic. But just, you know, on this one specific thing, understand that it's not going to be perfect, and it may be highly imperfect. And if it is, don't beat yourself up too much. Which leads to tip number six, which I call clean up on aisle nine. And that is, if you've really lost it, let's say you've attacked or criticized someone else, you've just gotten into it, and of course you needless to say have the high moral ground because they deserved it, and they started it anyway, and yada, et cetera, et cetera. See, here's the thing: is if you have acted in a way which is inconsistent with what your heart-centered desired interaction is, you know, first of all, as per tip number five, don't beat yourself up about it, but still, it's appropriate then to offer sincere amends. So the most effective way to offer amends is, well, first, so some don'ts. Don't justify or defend. Well, I did say that, but you said that first, or I was only reacting to what you were saying. No. Just, I said that was a hurtful thing to say, and I regret that, and I'm so sorry. Don't take their inventory. Again, just take care of your side of the street. Keep your side of the street clean. And take responsibility for your behavior, but only for your behavior. Don't try to take responsibility for something that's not yours. One effective way is in the form of an impact statement. And to learn more about impact statements, you can listen to some of my other segments. But in this particular case, you can state your behavior. You know, what did you say or what did you do? Express your regret about it and express what you wish to do in the future instead. And did I mention that it should be sincere? And remember, always be sincere, whether you mean it or not. Just small joke there. But yes, be sincere. Okay, that was tip number 6, clean up on aisle 9. And finally, 7, avoid topics that you know will be problematic. You know, typical problematic topics, the big 3, politics, religion, and sex. Those are the big 3, and if you know that they're going to be problematic, if you know that that there are people in your family and maybe extended family that have very, very different political views, different religious views, different views about, about sex, about, whatever. If you know that they're going to be problematic, then avoid them. It's the old, it hurts when I go like that. Well, don't go like that. So if a topic is a painful one, one that you know is just going to take things off the rails, just don't go there. And if the topic comes up, as the saying goes, you don't have to go to every fight that you're invited to. You don't have to show up for every argument that they invite you to. And so if an uncomfortable topic comes up, you either use the excuse, it's time for my run or time for my meditation or, depending on, I got to feed the baby or a direct impact statement. I'd rather not talk about this. So to recap, the holidays can be both a joyful time and a time for challenge, a time for regression. I've talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly of holiday times as it relates to communication, and I've given 7 tips for communication during the holidays to, 1, continue your practice, 2, be aware of yourself, 3, if you're triggered, take a timeout, 4, before the visit, hold everybody in the light, 5, buy into your inner critic if you do, if you're not perfect. 6, clean up on aisle 9, make amends. And 7, avoid topics that you know will be problematic. And that does it for 2017 on Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate you joining me today and all of this year. I look forward to a wonderful 2018, and I wish all of you the same. I will continue the Speaking of Listening segment right here on Good Vibrations Radio every second Monday at 5 o'clock. To learn more about effective listening and my workshops on effective communication, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com, consciousawareheart, all one word. You can like me on Facebook at AwareHeart. Follow me on Twitter at effect5com. That's the word effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And my website is www.consciousawareheart.com. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside. Someone I thought had died so long ago.